Chapter 19.
She logged out 5 Alpha at 0036 hours, sir, and she didn't file a flight plan.
GA StealthX Technician, Coruscant, to Luke Skywalker. Hapes Cluster. Jason couldn't fire. It wasn't regard for Mara, because his first instinct was to lock on and press the button. But she was so close that the detonation would have taken him with her. Stealth X's had sacrificed shielding for sensor negators. It was only at times like this, times that should never have happened, would never have happened, that it was a problem. He jinked left, and she matched him, and right, and left, and still she was so close on his tail that he braced for impact out of reflex, arms locked out on the yoke. There was no advantage. Same starfighter. No edge. She was as good a pilot. No refuge. They were in open space. It was down to who hated more, and who was more prepared to die to take out the other. All Jason could think of was that now it was Mara who'd followed him here and knew about Tenel Ka. Her threats over Ben seemed irrelevant. He had a whole new problem. His calm crackled again. He braced for a stream of vitriol from his aunt. But it was someone else's voice.
I have her, Jason.
Lumia. Savior, maybe. But she shouldn't have been here either. So Lumia and Mara probably knew about Tenel Ka and Alana. And Lumia certainly knew that he couldn't let either woman live with that knowledge. Now he had 2 assassins on his tail, and he couldn't trust either of them not to kill or betray him. Laser cannons flared across his port side, and he felt the impact in the airframe, but he was still in one piece. He smelled smoke. Brilliant white light filled the cockpit. Lumia, if she was targeting Mara, if she wasn't trying to kill him in some bizarre Sith test, had the same problem. Mara was flying so close that any explosion put him in her blast radius, or would send her debris punching through his shields at this range. Jason did what he'd done many times. He simply dropped away by looping through 90 degrees. He needed to put a second of space between them, and he also needed to come back at her with an advantage. Mara might have sent a message to Luke by now, revealing everything. She wanted maximum damage. His secret was as good a missile to be used against him as any ordnance. As he climbed out of the loop, Jason looked up through the canopy, desperate for any reflection or hint of movement. Stealth X's had never been designed to fight one another. Their almost complete lack of sensor trace made tracking Mara impossible. That was why she was so close on his tail, too. They couldn't detect each other reliably, except through the Force, or by spotting silhouettes against the starfield. And Mara seemed to be able to dip in and out of the Force just like him. Just like Ben. He should never have taught Ben to do it. The fact that Mara hadn't said more than 4 words was the most disorienting thing of all. Now he needed to get her onto ground of his choosing. He could feel Lumia somewhere off to starboard, moving at high speed, and he had no idea what the Sith sphere was capable of in her hands. All he knew was that it was obsolete, and old tech and brute force could often bypass more complex systems.
"Canopy!" he yelled.
Ben's report had said he'd used a magnetic accelerator in the Sith sphere.
"Lumia, crack her canopy! Weak shields!"
He didn't have to explain it to her. Suddenly he could see an orange ball accelerating toward him on a collision course, and he flipped 90 degrees just in time for it to pass under him. The next thing he heard was Lumia's voice saying,
hull breach. She's venting atmosphere.
As Jason came around again in a loop, orienting by feeling Mara in the force once more, he could see a thin white trail moving at high speed toward the center of the cluster. Mara was hit. A slow leak either in the canopy or straight through the skin into the cockpit, and she was trying to land before a crack spread and became an explosive decompression. Even with a flight suit, her chances of surviving that were slim. She was heading for Cavan. That suited Jason fine. Once he had her on the ground, he could take her, because even if she called in support, who would respond to someone in a battle with Jason solo? Not the Hapens. Who would believe her? People many hours away. He felt no violence or malice at all. But then he never did in combat. He just felt an overwhelming desire to win and survive, and all other emotions were pushed into the background. He turned his attention to Lumia.
"It's okay, Jason,"
she said.
"I know what you have to keep secret. I'll make sure it stays that way."
"You certainly will," he said, and locked all 8 proton torpedoes on the Sith sphere. "This is what you taught me to be." Jason fired on her, and felt no triumph or shame, only temporary relief. But he saw no explosion, no white-hot ball or glittering cloud of slow-tumbling debris. His onboard sensors picked up nothing. Where was she? Was it a kill or not? He'd have to trawl for wreckage later. Right now, his priority was to silence Mara Jade Skywalker. Hapen Space. Ben couldn't feel his mother, but he knew she wasn't dead. She was hiding, just as he'd taught her. Lumia was here in the Sith ship, though, streaking away on his starboard side, and he wasn't going to break off the pursuit now. She was the key to this. She'd be the key, dead or alive. Ben knew he was capable of doing either. The ship was speaking inside his head, just as it had before. It might have been talking to itself, or addressing both him and Lumia, but it was deeply unhappy.
"He has tried to cause irreparable damage."
"Ship, shut up,"
Lumia said. Ben could hear her, too, as if the ship's thought processes were an open circuit.
"He has to survive. We don't."
"The rule of ages is that I must not be targeted."
The sphere had clearly decided enough was enough, and looped back in the direction from which it had come. Ben could see it in his forward screens and on sensors, but he could also see it in his head. The general impression was that it was rolling up its sleeves and going back to knock 10 bells out of whoever had fired on it.
"Ship, break off!"
"I do what I must."
"Ship!"
Ben's drives were screaming, trying to keep up with it. There was no real up or down in space, but it was like plummeting in the slipstream of a raptor.
"Ship, my mom's down there," Ben pleaded. "She didn't fire on you."
"Masters may use their ships to fight, but not involve apprentices."
"Ship, Jason made an error. Do it for me, so I can find my mom again. Please, don't fire."
The sphere decelerated dramatically.
"Who is the enemy?"
the ship asked.
"Unless I know, I can do nothing except evade and protect."
"That's right,"
Ben said. Shevu had told him that humoring nutters, as he called it, was an essential police skill. Keeping them talking was what it was all about. and if Ben had the ship, he had Lumia.
Ship, what's your task?
Once I fought. Now I educate and protect apprentices.
What do you believe I am?
Apprentice.
Who's the one within you now?
Apprentice also.
Ben was starting to form a picture of the sphere's view of the world. It had been buried on Zeost for centuries, and possibly millennia. It had reacted to him when he was being targeted from orbit and running for his life with a terrified little girl.
Ship, what do you mean, educate?
I teach apprentices to fight.
Ben could sense Lumia communicating with it. The ship was responding strongly in his mind, but there was a second stream of soundless words running almost like interference on a comlink from overlapping frequencies. She was urging the sphere to fire on Ben, to ram his shuttle, to kill him.
Yes, I am now for apprentices, so they learn and come to no harm. I used to be for masters at war.
It made sudden sense to Ben.
You're a Sith training vessel.
It would see him as an apprentice, because he was one, in a way. But Lumia confused him.
Why do you think the woman in you now is an apprentice?
Because she knows so little of me. Like you.
Ben accepted he wasn't an intellectual like Jason, but he could grind through options, eliminating things as he went, just like his mom. He could work out anything just by asking question after question.
The woman apprentice in you had us shot at when we left Zeost.
We shot back.
The ship recognized him, and it decided that both he and Lumia were novices who needed its advice and care. It had stopped his mother from killing Lumia on Hesperidium because that was its job, teaching apprentices to fight. Ben wondered how many chances it gave Sith apprentices before it decided they were weaklings who deserved what they got. There was no way he was going to talk it into killing Lumia. He wondered how it would do that, and she was having no luck getting it to attack him either. Ben was in no real danger, but his mother was, and not from that ship. Someone else wanted her dead. He needed to find her. He dropped toward Reboam, and the Sith sphere escorted him, with Lumia impotent within. Ben had caught a Sith. And now he had no idea how to use her to his advantage.
Cavan, Hapes Cluster.
Mara set the StealthX down in the middle of nowhere and reminded herself that being the target or the assassin was simply a state of mind. No doubt Jason thought he'd forced her to land so he could finish her off. She thought she'd ditched to get him where she could use her fighting skills to better advantage. It was a matter of who found who first.
I can stop this any time I want.
After all she'd seen and heard, there was still the Mara within who couldn't really believe her nephew was dangerously and irredeemably evil.
If you don't do it, who will? And who'll blame you for not acting while he could be stopped? Palpatine, 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 your lesson in 2020 hindsight.
So here she was, telling herself that she was going to go through a very bad time after she killed him, but it had to be done. And Jason was probably thinking the identical thing. They were the same. No moral high ground. Just a leftover equation that said all other things being equal, Mara preferred to see Jason dead than Ben, or Luke, or herself. Survival.
there was nothing wrong with surviving. Luke now kept reaching out to her in the Force, increasingly anxious, trying to find her, but she didn't dare reach back. There was no telling what Jason could detect. When she wanted to be found by Jason, he'd know all about it. She grabbed her bag and everything from the cockpit that could be used as a weapon, then found some cover while she consulted her datapad for charts and surveys of Cavan. It was honeycombed with ruined monuments and tunnels.
Fine. If I get him in a confined space, he can't use all his Force skills, but I can make the most of what I've got.
She decided to make her way into the maze of buried passages and get Jason to follow her. She was nowhere near any centers of population, so she was also a long way from any help. She didn't intend to summon any anyway, not until it was time to remove the body. She secreted all her weapons in her jacket, belt, and boots, and sprinted for the first tunnel she saw. It was getting easier by the minute to disappear into the Force for as long as she needed. But now she needed to be visible, a beacon for Jason to lure him onto the rocks.
Come and get me, Colonel Solo.